Coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas, and recorded live, Science News is on the air right now.
This is the promise of tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of the promise of tomorrow.
And once again, it's so good to have you back as we explore an exciting world, the world of the business of emerging science, nanotechnology, open innovation. It was kind of interesting last week. We got to crow just a little bit because last Thursday, CBS Network Television aired a story out of Caltech about curing cancer using nanotechnology that we had covered with Jim Heath out of Caltech back 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, on August 16th in 2009. So it's nice to see that CBS is catching up. All right, well, this is the week of the Homeland Security Technologies Conference, sponsored by Raytheon, going on in Boston, Massachusetts. Hope you can get over there to see it. There's a lot of good things happening there, and we've got a couple of people that are going to be at the conference this week as guests on our show today. First, we're going to check in with Greg Donahue. He's the marketing program manager for Mercury Computers, and he's got a sidekick, Tom Roberts. He's the solutions marketing manager, and we found them at a hotel in Baltimore, and they took enough time to speak to us. And then they both agreed to step into the meditation chamber and give us a prediction of the future, so you want to hear that. And, of course, we're going to visit the Den of Strangers, get more wisdom from somebody a lot of us never heard of, visit our fountain of useless information we have here. That's going to be in the second half of the program, when our guest is going to be Ed English. Ed English is the CEO of Elerts Corporation. Elerts creates emergency notification systems for smartphones. And it's very, very interesting, the things he's going to have to tell us. And, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments are the voice of reason.
Stand by.
Right now, I want to introduce you to Greg Donahue. He's the marketing program manager for Mercury Computers, and he has with him Tom Roberts, who is solution marketing manager for Mercury Computers. Welcome to the program, gentlemen.
Thank you.
You're calling us from the Radisson Hotel in Baltimore, Maryland. You're there on a conference, I believe, and of course this week is going to be the IEEE Homeland Security Technologies Conference, of which you're an important part also. So we're going to get to see you there. Tell us a little bit about Mercury Computers. I understand you do some things with Raytheon. He's one of the sponsors of the conference. What is it? What's the specialty?
This is Tom. Mercury, we've been in business for over 30 years. And our specialty is providing, it's kind of a long description, but then I'll explain what it is, embedded computing subsystems for really complex kinds of applications. Examples would be radar systems. So the Department of Defense puts radar systems on a plane or a ship. The signals that come in from that antenna, the radar antenna, have to be rendered into something that makes sense to a human being in real time, that is, like right away. It's a very specialized kind of computing with a lot of mathematics, and that's what we provide. We've done that with radar systems for a long time, and we're also in some of the new imaging systems that are up there with in unmanned vehicles over Iraq and Afghanistan, electro-optical imaging. And we're also provide the same kind of embedded computing systems for electronic warfare systems that listen through the electronic spectrum for signals of interest, as they're referred to. So that is our specialty.
Wow, that's pretty interesting stuff. And help me get my arms around these things. Maybe take them one at a time. With the radar, You said you've got to somehow break it down and put it into something that a human being can understand. What did we do with radar during World War II or in earlier days before we had computers?
Well, that was all analog, and you just get a little blip that would come across the oscilloscope. But in today's conflicts, the images that a radar system can provide are a lot more sophisticated, and the computers are what allow that to be dealt with in real time. So instead of just a blip, you can track multiple targets. You can have an idea of how large those targets are, which direction they're heading in, how far away they are, what their speed is. Those are the kinds of things that a defense radar needs to be able to do, and that's what we help them do. So we don't actually build the radar systems. Our customers like Lockheed Martin or Raytheon will build a radar system, and what they do is for that one piece, the embedded computing piece, they buy it from us. It's really very different than your normal PC, which your personal computer spends most of its time moving around words and texts and characters. Our computers do mathematics very fast. So your PC can do mathematics, but we do a lot of mathematics with those signals from the antenna, and we do it very fast. And we also package them up in rugged systems, because if you're on a plane or a ship, you have to be able to withstand a lot more shock and vibration than the typical computer.
That is really pretty fascinating stuff. So the information comes in code, and then your computers break it down through your algorithms or whatever it is that you're using, and then presents it to a screen so that somebody can view the data, or is it coming in a different language or something that someone has to interpret, or what do we see or feel or comprehend, I should say, after the radar has delivered the information and gone through your computers?
Well, now the information is back over to our customers, Raytheon or Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman. They would design the display based on what it's in. So the ship will be needing to track lots of targets potentially simultaneously. It'll have a very large screen, right? But they'll also be able to save all that information for future analysis. A system in a fighter aircraft will, of course, have a much smaller screen but more specific to what the pilot needs to know. There's even more sophisticated radar systems. There's a form of radar now called a synthetic aperture radar, and it actually produces images. With a synthetic aperture radar, you can see at night, you can see through clouds and weather, and provides very detailed images. Look almost just like a photograph, except they're taken, can be taken through clouds at extreme altitudes. So in that case, you save it just like a picture, or more like a video, actually.
So probably shortwave infrared to shoot through fog and clouds, and then what the a pilot or the person with the screen would actually see an image on the screen of what is being delivered back to them on the other side of that fog or cloud. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's actually radar. It's radar, and then they see the image of the road and the vehicles on the road or the topography of the landscape or whatever they're trying to look at.
That is some pretty incredible stuff, guys, and you're right on the cutting edge of it.
Sometimes even some of the radar systems that we get involved with, there is no human interaction, because it could be an anti-ballistic missile type of system where you're picking up an incoming missile and it automatically feeds into whatever the countermeasure is going to be. Mm-hmm. So there are, Tom was mentioning, there's a lot of different applications, and it's really our customers who are the prime contractors that are going to be customizing the end solution and kind of driving the requirements to us on what our system, our subsystem needs to deliver.
Right.
Well,
we're in, it's public information that we're part of Raytheon's Patriot anti-ballistic missile system. So in that case, Greg's right, some of these images may go to a person, but much more importantly, the information on a given incoming missile goes directly to the anti-missile targeting system. Where is the thing that's coming in, and how do I intercept it?
Wow! So it could all happen really automatically if something is happening. And I guess Raytheon would be building in some sort of a fail-safe method in case the thing that was coming in was friendly and not hostile. But
there's always a human being in the loop, of course. The computers don't ever press the fire button. But what Greg's referring to is that they pass all the information on about the target directly to the system. So the human being doesn't have to transcribe the speed and direction of the target.
So it all happens really quick. That's really very good. Now, give us some history on Mercury. I mean, how long has Mercury Computers been doing this sort of thing, and how did you get started in it? Can you answer those?
We've been around for 30 years. We originally began with mathematical, special math boards a long time ago. We provided equipment for medical diagnostic equipment like CAT scanners, MRIs, and we're still in that kind of business. And we've moved into providing embedded computing for radar systems and other defense systems. And we're also in something else that pertains to Homeland Security, and that is baggage scanning. The X-ray systems that X-ray your baggage, your checked baggage, looking for things that aren't supposed to be in there, it's the mathematics of processing that into an image is very similar to other things we do. So we're also we also provide embedded computing for baggage scanning.
So you really kind of cover the gamut when it comes to Homeland Security. What are we going to see when we visit your exhibit at the conference?
Well, as I will be there, I can probably comment to that. This is Greg. A couple of the things that I'll be talking about there are we've come up with some new technology around imaging, image processing. So something that would be flying on an unmanned vehicle or maybe being used in a ground-based vehicle that's doing some sort of surveillance and using EOIR, electro-optical infrared type technology. So I'll be demonstrating some of that. In addition, one of the things that we've got kind of drawn into by our customers is that a lot of what we do generates an awful lot of data. And a lot of times the forensic analysis of that data is something that happens after the fact. It's not always a real-time thing. So you could be surveying the border between any two countries. We could just pick two if you want, maybe the United States and Mexico. And you gather a bunch of data, then you bring it back and you analyze it. Well, all that data needs to be stored. And typically, if it's on something that's an unmanned aerial vehicle, you don't have a lot of space or power. Those are severe limitations. So we've come up with some unique storage technology that has been ruggedized and can fly. And we've built it up to 96 terabytes, so quite a bit of data. Because you really, when you get the unmanned aerials up there, you want them to fly for a pretty long time, gather a lot of data. And so we enable a lot. We have a couple of technologies that really enable our customers to build those systems. So those are two of the things I'll be talking about, in addition to, as Tom was talking about, our baggage scan technology. Again, another one where imaging and fast processing is important. Ruggedization, not so much, because they're not moving around and they're pretty stable. But again, it's an awful lot of math.
And it has to be contained, and it has to be hardy, so it can take a lot of punishment when you have them on things at sea or something like that. Do you build entirely new platforms, or do you use existing technology that may be supplied through some of the things that we are quite familiar with, like Dell or IBM or Apple or any of those sorts of things?
Extremely familiar technology, and this is one of the big trends that has happened in the industry, happened in defense, it's definitely happening in Homeland Security, where the use of commercial off-the-shelf type of technology, you need to do stuff to it. You can't just take it, flying around with a Dell isn't going to work. But yes, using our storage device as an example, we're using commercially available solid-state drives that you could buy at Best Buy. But then we need to take that technology We do an awful lot of hardening to it. There's a lot of input-output technology that you need to do. We even have to put pressure relief valves on it because it's, you know, when you get the UAV to a certain altitude, things are going to expand and could explode if you don't release some of the pressure.
Hmm.
So there's a lot that you do, but the basic technology, and even in our processing, you know, we're doing a lot of stuff with Intel and with a device called a GPU, a graphical processing unit that you'd see in any gaming system. All of those technologies are getting drawn into these applications because they're really good fits, and they enable the end customer, the government, to do what's called spiral upgrades. So instead of doing one platform and having it last for 15 years or 20 years like they did in the past, the commercial technologies enable them to, you know, every 12 months, 18 months, 2 years, be able to introduce on the same platform the updated, newer technologies. Storage being a great example, when we first built it, it was 48 terabytes. By the, you know, 18 months later, the technology had moved so far that we could just swap out the exact same solid-state drives with the new ones and double the capacity.
So there's a lot of transfer of technology between different organizations that bring all you guys together to come up with these finished things from many different areas, and that's one of the reasons why you like to go to these conferences, because it lets you make friends and see what else is going on in the industry. Is that right?
Yes, yeah. And, you know, Tom was mentioning some of Mercury's history. We primarily were a commercial company, and we still do a lot of commercial work, so we straddle both worlds. And as such, it enables us to really see some of these technologies on the commercial side and then figure out how they can be applied on defense or homeland security applications.
So that's really how you market what you do. You go to the technical conferences and you make friends and it gets around about what you're capable of, and then it becomes a whole network of word of mouth about what Mercury can do, and then Mercury, you have your own network of suppliers that you can call on. Is that right?
Well, we do. As Greg just mentioned, some of them. Common names, Intel. We use, you know, Intel processors, the same processor that you might have in your PC. Only we hook them together in a unique way and have lots of them in one little box to do a lot of math. But that's we have to have a relationship with Intel to know what they're coming out with in the future, what directions they're heading in, what kind of low-level programming tools they're going to provide to us. So we work with them on a pretty consistent basis, and it's not just them, it's the companies that make the graphics processing units. There's another kind of a little bit more exotic processor that you would see in the telecommunications space called an FPGA, Field Programmable Gate Array. We use those too, and we use those from two companies, Xilinx and Altera, so we have good relationships with those companies along the same lines. What are you coming out with next year? What direction are things headed in? And then we take that information, then we take the understanding we have of what our customers need, and we plan out how we're going to provide a better solution for our customers, you know, 12 months out, 18 months out. How are we going to continue to do a better job?
Do you get to work with technicians in other countries? I mean, for instance, the Predator drone and a lot of UAVs are supplied to us through Israel, and how does that work?
Well, we don't buy UAVs. That would be our customers who actually provide the UAV and
sure.
put our systems inside of it.
Yeah, I understand that.
We do business with friendly nations, defense departments, or ministries of defense. That's all controlled by the U.S. government, and that the amount of information that we can share on any given project, even with an allied country, is controlled by the U.S. And not necessarily restricted, but the U.S. government wants to understand what technologies we share. But we do work with all of the U.S. allied nations and their ministries of defense and prime contractors in those countries as they work to build their own systems.
What about vulnerabilities like cyber warfare? I mean, we hear about this all the time, that our technology is at risk for being stolen by hostile governments, including, Russia and China are mentioned a lot, but even India and other places. Does Mercury have any concerns about cyber warfare?
I think that's a concern for everyone in the U.S. technology industry that's concerned with defense. There are various groups within the Department of Defense that work with all of the members of this industry to try to prevent that kind of thing. But yeah, it definitely is something that we're all concerned about.
So over to I've been to some trade shows and conferences where the last conference I was at around geointelligence, there was an FBI briefing in the beginning to kind of help exhibitors understand, you know, what to look for and just report suspicious activity, because it is pretty prevalent. On kind of a different note, but along the same way, everyone probably heard about the helicopter, with Osama bin Laden, and how technology from that helicopter that crashed was soon found, in China. So it's, for us, it's also an issue when it comes to developing our system to make sure if we're on these drones and the drones go down in sensitive areas, to make sure that there's ways that this is a sensitive area for us to talk about, but there are ways to make sure you can protect the intellectual property that's on those things in a way that it will not be stolen.
So what you're saying is that the helicopter that went down in the courtyard when Osama bin Laden was taken, it was killed, that technology from that helicopter now has ended up in China? Did you say that?
Yeah, that was actually pretty much in the press pretty quickly. I don't know all the details about it, but it was more the actual physical tail of the helicopter, I believe, that had some stealth technology built in, and people are going to try to reverse engineer that and figure out how to do that.
So yeah, I guess the point here is that yes, you pointed out a very real concern.
Yes,
a very real concern throughout the industry is protecting our technology, so it's restricted to U.S. forces and our close allies.
And it's an adjustment that, Mercury's gone through because, as we talked earlier, we've done an awful lot of business in the commercial side. Well, on the defense side, the U.S. government does come and audit, and we have a security function in our organization that helps everyone in the company understand do's and don'ts, things to look for, if we're going to travel outside the United States, we often don't take our hardware with us. We don't take our laptops. We don't take our cell phones. We use special ones that, our IT department that will give us that are, make sure everything is clean.
And just say, no, there's nothing unique to Mercury about that. That's a common practice in our...
All right. Greg Donahue and Tom Roberts. All right. Since you're ready, we've entered our meditation chamber where we can see the future. What do you see?
Well, I think one of the important things is the Boston Bruins are going to have to repeat the Stanley Cup, as a Boston area company. That's kind of one of the critical trends I see moving at least through next year.
I guess my prediction isn't nearly as dynamic as that. It's just I think the sophistication of our intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance systems, it's really what we've been talking about. Those are the kinds of systems we support with our embedded computing. The sophistication of those systems is going to continue to increase. It's increased tremendously over the past 5 years, and I see that as a continuing trend. I think the other thing I'll predict is that I can't predict how it will be used, but there will be very clever people that will continue to put those ISR systems to very good use to defend the interests of our nation.
Greg Donahue, the marketing program manager for Mercury Computers, and his sidekick, Tom Roberts, the solutions marketing manager, speaking to us from the Radisson Hotel in Baltimore, Maryland. Okay, as we walk to the break at the half hour, We're going to pause at the door of the Den of Strangers, where we keep locked away all of the wisdom of mankind. Whom in the Den of Strangers will we meet today?
Plutarch, only worthless men seek to excuse the deterioration of their character by pleading neglect in their early years.